Welcome to Parents Perspective. I'm bored, 12-year-old Josie whined, popping herself on a chair in the kitchen. Me too, grumbled her 10-year-old brother Craig, slamming the screen door behind him. Well, their mom peered over her shoulder from the pile of dishes in the sink. There are beds to be stripped, laundry to be sorted, and a garden just begging to be weeded. No, Josie rushed to explain. I don't mean that kind of bored. I mean there's nothing I want to do. Don't you understand, Mom? I understand, their mother looked at both of them evenly, that if you're lucky enough to have free time, you should take advantage of it by using your senses. Huh? Both youngsters looked at her blankly. When was the last time you checked for tadpoles in the creek, or wrote a letter to Grandma, or sat in the apple tree and smelled the blossoms? Hey, Craig piped up. Remember my rock collection? I sure do, his mom smiled. Craig jumped up. I wonder if it's still in the basement. From a parent's perspective, how can we banish boredom in our families? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest has visited with Parents Perspective before. Dr. Mary Alvord has more than 30 years of experience working with children, adolescents, and their families as a licensed psychologist and is currently director of Alvord Baker & Associates, LLC, a large mental health practice in Maryland. Her work has centered on resilience in children, their ability to adapt under conditions of challenge, stress, and hardship. Dr. Alvord is the Public Education Coordinator in Maryland for the American Psychological Association, and she's the mother of three grown children. Welcome back to Parents Perspective, Dr. Alvord.
Thank you so much for having me.
What would you say is the biggest cause of kids' boredom?
Well, I think we first need to define what boredom is, and we commonly think of it as really it's an emotional state for a lack of interest and also a lack of engagement and attention to something. Most of us first jump in terms of the cause as increased screen time that children are experiencing. And really the fact that they're passive recipients of all of this information and all of the stimulation. And I think it's the stimulation that we get concerned about, that they are passive, again, recipients of something coming at them instead of reciprocity with people and really taking an active stance, whatever they do, in terms of finding something of interest. What we really want to encourage is taking initiative and problem solving. So I think we need to look at many causes.
Is a child's boredom a symptom of something more significant in his or her life?
Initially, we think, oh, they're just saying they're bored and there aren't enough activities. But I think we also really need to look at, are there some difficulties? Is there something that's too difficult for them to do, especially if it's an academic challenge? It could be that the work is too repetitious, that it is not at their level, or it could be the opposite, that it's too hard for them and that they're having difficulty understanding, and therefore it's hard for them to engage in it because they're having difficulty processing it. What is the boredom about? What does it mean in the context?
What kind of responses are appropriate for parents when a child is whining?
Well, I think we want to sit down and talk with them about what is making them feel bored. We just assume we know what they're thinking instead of really listening to what they're saying and trying to figure out, is it that they maybe don't have enough friends? Could that be a symptom because they don't really have someone to call and play with and so they feel lonely? Could it be that they really are expecting all of this information and scheduling and instead of using their creativity and figuring out some things to do? So I think talking to your child and listening is the most critical, really watching and seeing what's going on in their lives that may be creating this boredom that they're talking about.
What role do you think structured activities play in contributing to a child's boredom?
Well, structure is critical in any child's development, but it's balance. They need routines, they need to know what the rules are, they need to know the parameters, and they need a certain amount of structure. I think what we look at when we think about boredom and this whole area is, are they over-programmed? And so I think there's a difference between structure and overdoing it. And again, I think parenting is a delicate balance. And so over-programming can be a real problem because the kids have really no free time to really then create and play by themselves because they're so structured or over-programmed that they don't really have the opportunity to really be on their own and think of things to do.
Is it a mindset that we sometimes project as parents that you need to be busy?
Well, our society now is so fast-paced. I mean, we expect instantaneous results, communication responses, our cell phones, the texting, the emails, the social networking. So I think as a society, we've moved, especially American society, into this fast, fast pace. I was recently out of the country and I was taken aback actually at the pace in the restaurant, and they took pride in allowing you to enjoy your meal and have time and not feel rushed. Whereas I think we're always in a rush and thinking about not what are we doing now, which we call mindfulness, sort of mindfully being in the moment. We're always thinking about what are we going to do? What's the next step? What's to be done? And it's a societal issue.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on boredom.
The popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Dr. Mary Alvord about boredom for kids.
What about the competitiveness of young people? Johnny next door is playing soccer, taking karate. He also takes swimming lessons. He also takes violin lessons, maybe. And so my child should be doing all those things, too.
Right. And I think that kids look to their peers, especially as they become teenagers. That becomes sort of the critical mode of what they look at is what are the other kids doing? But even the younger kids do look at that. And I think it's important to establish your own family values and what you're going to do or not going to do and really communicate that to your children as a value system of what you want to be happening in your family and what do they want as well. But that doesn't mean 12 activities. I know with my own children, I limited. Two of them were competitive divers, and whereas the coaches would want them to be practicing 5 days a week, I thought, that's going to really lead to a burnout. And so it's quality of activities. It's not always the quantity of activities.
So do you jump in and tell the coach, my child is only coming 3 times?
I think so. I did. I think you need to assert yourself as a parent and really know what is best for your child and what works for your family as well. And if you have several children, you can't be everywhere running around all the time. And it's typically one parent that is handling a lot of the mechanics of being in the car, dropping off, picking up, and parents need to look at their own stress level and the contributing factors to that. So we really need to look systemically. I like to look at the whole system, not just what the child needs or doesn't need, but also what do the parents need or not need, and what do the other children in the family need. You may have one child who's doing many activities and another one who maybe doesn't like sports. So you can encourage them with theater or drawing or maybe just getting together with friends more. But it's got to be, again, a balance. That's critical.
Is there some importance for parents to share with their children their own needs? I can't be 3 places at once.
It's important for parents to share some. I would hesitate to say, yes, share all your needs. It's appropriate to say, I only have this many hours after school or in the summer, and so we need to make choices. And I think that's another big thing of teaching children that choices need to be made and we need to prioritize. It's part of problem solving. So I think it's appropriate for a parent to say, I can't be here and there and there. So what are some options that we have? What can we do? And how can we all work it out so that the family works well?
As parents, we're always modeling our behavior. Are we, as a country modeling the behavior of, we must fill every minute, and they don't see us sitting down to read a newspaper or maybe doing artwork or playing the piano or whatever it is we could do for leisure.
Modeling is how we learn so much. It's imitation learning is a basis of how children learn so much. And it's not always what we say, it's what we do. That really is the proof in the pudding. So I think we need to be mindful of what is good for us and therefore know that it filters down to our children. And yes, we need to take time to be creative if that's something that we want to do, play piano, just be outside, go hiking, enjoy nature. You know, you can go on a hike and just decide, well, the goal is to do these 2 miles and get your exercise. Or it could be to really explore the foliage or just the sky and be able to appreciate that. I think we've lost some of that. And I know I myself get caught up into a busy life and I have to stop and think, okay, the expression stop to smell the roses. Being in the moment instead of always multitasking and trying to do so many things at once. Really looking at one thing at a time and what gives us pleasure.
Someone describing that once said, we should try to live our lives as much as possible, like we're on vacation, not meaning not do anything, but when we're on vacation, we really are in the moment.
Right.
And when we're not, we're, of course, looking at our clock and looking at our calendar and looking at the speedometer and everything else.
You can look at it as being on vacation or just looking at it as what do you want your life to look like? And thinking about, okay, in this year, what do I want to happen? What do I want to encourage my children to pursue? What do I want to pursue? And how as a family unit do we want to be?
Dr. Alvord, what do you see as a remedy or as remedies for increasing complaints of boredom?
As with everything, balance is very important. We want to stimulate our minds. We want to be engaged. We want to be creative. We also want to be physically active. And I wanted to make a point about this because there is such an increase in obesity in our youth. And I know Michelle Obama has taken initiative and really promoting this. But as psychologists, we are very concerned with the physical and the mental aspects of obesity as well, because mind and body are very much connected. So we want to make sure that children really are pushed into physical activity. So it's not thought of as exercise. I know when we think of exercise, there's just negative connotation, but rather movement, getting kids. And I think if they are encouraged to be moving more, dance, just running around, it doesn't have to be any kind of a structured thing. Running around and catching lightning bugs in the evening, whatever it might be. But that physical activity and increasing it can also help to decrease boredom. It can increase our physical health, which then also impacts on our mental health. So all of this is related. I think other remedies are balance a certain amount of screen time, whether it be TV, computer, video games, is okay. I think it needs to be limited so that kids are not just there and constantly bombarded with all the stimulation and expect that kind of stimulation for everything. Rather, it's important for them to create some of that. So I think limiting screen time, and I call it screen time because I really think not just limiting computer or video games, but any kind of that passive activity is important.
How limited should that time be?
Well, I know the Academy of Pediatricians, I think, came up with a maximum of 2 hours a day.
For what ages are they talking about?
You know, I don't know the exact age. I think for younger children, you want to limit it. Also depends, is it a school day? And I think when it's a school day, it should probably be far more limited than 2 hours seems like an awful lot.
2 hours is a lot if you've got a 4-year-old
right.
or a 5-year-old. That's
exactly.
a lot of their day.
Exactly. So I think you need to use judgment. But I think no more than 2 hours, even on a weekend, that's a lot. But I think school days, many parents just say a half hour of screen time so that you can do homework on the computer if you need to, or learning or looking at things up, or some social networking. Even the young kids are doing this social networking. That's a whole nother radio show for you. I think it's important. And I think program of activities is fine, too. But again, it's the balance. It's not appropriate, I think, for them to come home from school and then have 3 hours of programmed activities and then dinner and then homework and then it's bedtime. It doesn't really allow for just that free time of learning or playing with your Legos or drawing or coloring for young kids or just playing with action figures or dolls or that creative. So we really want to, again, balance. There needs to be time and activities to go to the library. Take your kids to the library and just explore what the books and the toys off so many libraries in the children's library. They'll have sections and they'll have toys and they'll have, now they have books on tape for a lot of the children who are not yet readers. But it exposes them to a whole world of books. And I know now lots of people moving to electronic books, but I think still that love of learning and taking in, and it's a way to entertain yourself. And also creating stories of your own, encouraging kids to make up games. For the younger kids, you do sometimes have to structure that. You can't just say, go make up a game. But you can say, okay, let's make up a game. And how many things of color red do you see? And, you know, for the older ones, you can do number games or word games. And even teenagers like some of these mental games that you can do, or even real games, board games that you can do. Or again, just going outside and playing with stick and mud. I think sometimes you just have to say to them, you need to be outside now. And I think we need to limit the inside time. Even if the weather is cold, they can survive. They can be out there. And if it's snowing or if it's hot, you know, you don't want to put them out there at noon without sunscreen. But hey, you have them be outside and enjoy that. So I think there's so many ways to encourage not getting bored. But again, it's helping them problem solving. So what can you do? You have a choice. You could sit here and be bored, or you could think of things to do, or I can help you. So that they learn, it's really up to them taking initiative. I think as a society and for resilience, it's important to not be passive, not feel helpless. Helplessness feels to sadness and depression and just feeling that you can't have an impact. And if the single most important thing I would say about being resilient, which really is part of not being bored, is knowing that you can have an impact on your life. That you have choices and you can take hold of your life. And even as a child, you can do some things to change some aspects. You can't control everything, but there are a lot of things that you can control.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on boredom.
For an audio CD of any Parent's Perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Dr. Mary Alvord about children's boredom.
In our family, one of the kids was really an indoor child, and at one point, he really had to be sort of forced to go outside. And I think it was in a little story that he wrote when he was in third grade, and his story was about his mean mother who made him go outside. But it seems like one of the things you're saying is that kids can take charge of what they're interested in and go with it if they have permission to do that. I'm thinking even little kids have what we might consider hobbies, things that if they're left to their own devices, they're really happy to pursue. It may seem like over-involvement. They get involved in dinosaurs. If they're given permission to do what they want to do, just like grown-ups, if we're really left to our own devices and we're given permission to take the time out, we have things that we would love to do.
It's so critical because we want kids to find passions. I mean, if we think about what makes us happy, it's finding meaningfulness in life and having passion, you know. And I've always said to my kids, if you find something you love to do 8 hours, 10 hours flies by so quickly. But if you feel like it's tedious or it's too difficult, the time can be excruciatingly slow. So I think it's important to give kids the opportunity to find things that they can be interested in and the opportunity to cultivate friendships, because that's another area. When we have challenges in our life or even traumas, we seek support from other people. And we want our children from an early age to really have friends so that they can also go to support. And it will help the boredom part. Communities still have local hangouts. I know that my kids used to go to the local school and they would just have pickup games in the field. So there are opportunities. It can just be out in the street. It could be at a pool. Some communities are lucky enough that they have pools to go to. Others don't. But there's grass somewhere. But you give them a ball and say, okay, see you in a little bit. Have fun with it.
Well, this has been very much fun. But before we close, are there any resources that you would like to recommend to parents who really want permission to let their kids have some free time and try to deal with this epidemic of boredom?
Sean Covey wrote a children's book and has different stories. I can't exactly remember the title, but Seven Habits of Happy Kids, I think. And there's a story in there, I'm Bored. And he talks about being proactive, but it's through story form. It's for younger children, but I think it's a fun story. General resources, though, the American Psychological Association has a psychology help center, and you can search many topics. They also have a blog, and they have a YouTube site now that has little, I'd say, 2 to 4 minute little blurbs from different psychologists on various topics. So the site for that is www.apa.org, and then on the top there is the Psychology Help Center, and that is for the consumers, and there are search engines. On the bottom right, there are the clicks to the blogs and the YouTube. There's another organization that's also more general but can give good information for parents. It's www.abct.org, so the Association for Behavioral and Cognitive Therapies. And again, search engines. The internet, I would just be aware that you have to filter what you see. There's some excellent sites and good information, but there's some people who just post, and it's important not to just, because it's on the internet, take it as a credible site. So you want to make sure that you can even Google boredom and see what you get. But again, filter out and use judgment when you're reading about it.
If the parent has something that he or she loves to do, would it be a good idea to get the child involved?
That's a good possibility. Russell Barkley, who's an expert in attention deficit disorder, talks about having a time each day where the child leads the play. And so you just say, let's do something together. What kinds of things would you like to do? And really have the child lead what they would like to do. What we want is encourage parents to spend some time with children, really helping them take some lead in an activity.
I never thought of this as an activity when my children were little, but recently we had one of my very young grandchildren and his parents living with us in transition from one house to their new house. And we found he was fascinated with photo albums and photos in frames and photos all around the house. He wants to know, who is it and what are they doing and how old are they? And I think that's probably an interesting activity for kids who can't find something to do.
Right. Well, it was interesting, brought to mind a family whose child wasn't doing well in school, and they said, okay, no screen time at all this week. And so at first he was sitting around complaining the first day, he wasn't enough to do. And then he became very efficient finishing his homework, and then he started just hanging out in his room and finding all these things there that he had forgotten that he had. And he said it really ended up being a fun week because made some things, he built some things, and he just found things to look at that he had totally forgotten about. There's so much that you can do. And you also do want to encourage kids doing things with other kids as well. Again, cultivate those friendships. I was recently in a family reunion, and there were four little girls there, ages, I think, about 5 to 8, and they wrote a play. So they spent hours and hours writing this play. The girls gave themselves multiple roles, and then they performed it. It kept them occupied, and it was interactional. So again, we really want to encourage activities with peers and with friends, as well as learning to be by yourself and not being bored.
Well, this has been anything but boring. Dr. Mary Alvord, thank you so much for being with us and helping us try to banish the epidemic of boredom.
Well, thank you for asking me. This has really been fun.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address, and please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. Mention show number 447 and tell us, if you can, what station you're tuning into.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. At the end of our program, we often thank individuals or organizations for their generous donations that help with the cost of producing Parents' Perspective. Parents' Perspective Incorporated is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. Donations can be made online through GiveDirect or iGive.com or MissionFish at eBay, or checks can be mailed to Parents' Perspective Incorporated, Post Office Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015. And thank you for helping us continue to work for you. Our sound engineer is Clayton Turner. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.